listening to the Games Galore Podcast with your host, Brian Edwards.
And welcome in for Games Galore Podcast episode number 16. I'm your host, Brian Edwards. We're going to go straight to our first guest of the day, Brad Powers of pregame.com. Joining us, you can follow Brad on Twitter at BradPowers7. How are you doing, Brad?
Actually, never been better.
Yeah, great stuff this past weekend. A lot of teams looking great, and I was checking out your power rankings. You've got Oklahoma State up to number 4. I've got them number 5. I'm super high on them as well, and boy, did they step on Pitt's throat early and often. Your thoughts on how Oak State's look? Not a murderer's row, but man, back-to-back road games and non-conference is pretty rare, and then they've just blown both teams out.
Yeah, I mean, last week was about as impressive as performance I've seen any team this year. I know it's not the marquee type of win like Oklahoma at Ohio State or an Alabama over Florida State in the opener, but you already mentioned it. The situation wasn't in their favor. It was an early start, back-to-back road trips. I thought Pitt played well at Penn State the week before, kind of shot themselves in the foot with turnovers. So I was on the major wrong end of that one. I actually bet Pittsburgh plus the points, and that was one that was chalked up as a losing ticket pretty much midway through the first quarter. So a very impressive performance, no doubt about it, when you throw for over 400 yards in the first half and 5 touchdowns. And I got to be honest, Oklahoma State was very kind in the second half, only putting up 10 points. They could have named their score and probably could have won the game by 60 points if they really wanted to. So that's one of the major reasons why they really jumped up in the power ratings. They've looked the part. They've covered 3 straight. We'll get a better feel for them again this week. They got a big Big 12 home game against TCU. I think a TCU team that's much improved from last year. And to show you how valued they are in the marketplace, I mean, they're laying double digits this week against what I perceive to be a top 20 TCU team.
Yeah, and I made Oklahoma State 11.5, and you know, it came out higher than that, and I do like what I'm seeing out of TCU. Very impressive performance against Arkansas. Are you going to be involved in that game? Do you give TCU? I guess if Oklahoma State were to, you know, commit some turnovers or something, but their offense, I mean, it looks like the, you know, definitely one of the top 2 or 3 in the nation, if not the best. Will you be involved in when the Frogs come to Stillwater?
No, we'll not be involved. I'll throw a little ATS trend out there for you, though. TCU is 12-3 against the spread as a road underdog since 2009. And again, I mean, defensively, I mean, it'll be by far Oklahoma State's best defense they've seen. So it'll be interesting to see if Mason Rudolph and that Cowboys offense can continue to replicate what I would perceive to be the best offensive numbers I've seen from any team so far this season.
Talking college football, Brad Powers, a little bit of week 3 stuff and looking ahead to week 4. Brad is at pregame.com where you can find all his content. Just released his latest power rankings all the way from the Uno to 130. Check him out on Twitter at BradPowers7. Mississippi State, wow, what a performance, and what a the best offseason coaching hire, Todd Grantham, or at least through 3 weeks. He certainly looks like it, by Dan Mullen. And but they got a tough one here. They go between the hedges. I made it 7. It was at 7 yesterday, but it looks like it's creeping down to into the 5.5 range. What do you make of the Bulldogs? Are they legit, or do you think LSU is just kind of like Florida, absolutely no good on offense still?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the jury's still out. I agree with you. Unbelievable performance, one of the better ones I've seen all year, probably a shocking one. I'm not shocked that they beat LSU outright as a touchdown underdog. I'm shocked that they were able to do it by 30 points. And particularly shocked, you know, if you watch the game early on, first 20 minutes, I mean, no scoring in the first quarter, 7-7, middle of the second quarter, and you know, run a 30-0 spot to close the game. You haven't seen LSU take a thumping like that in SEC play in quite some time. So You're right. Todd Grantham has been a great hire. They've relied heavily on that JUCO infusion on the defensive side of the ball, and so far they've pushed all the right buttons. Don't like him in this particular spot, traveling off a big win at Georgia. Georgia off an FCS opponent in Samford last week. And you know, Nick Fitzgerald and the offense had their way last week against a pretty good LSU defense. But I think they're facing an even better Georgia defense this week. And again, on the road, I'm going to agree with you. I mean, I thought the number should have been 7. I bet an early number at the win at the World Openers here with Georgia favored by about 5. And anything under 7, I'm going to lay it and play it with the Georgia Bulldogs here. I think they come away with a win and also a slight lead on the under in that one.
Vanderbilt, obviously, again, not a murderer's row with Alabama A&M, but, you know, Middle Tennessee, it's before Stock still got hurt. Let's keep that in mind when Minnesota blasted the Blue Raiders last week. But just the way they've come out on their first 3 drives against Middle Tennessee, they scored touchdowns. You know, Kyle Shermer came of age last November. He's playing lights out. Now, obviously, they faced a much tougher defense in K-State, and they weren't as effective offensively. And you have to be concerned about, Ralph Webb's running hard, and he's made some plays catching the ball out of the backfield. But they're not opening very many holes for him. But Derek Mason's done a hell of a job. The defense has played lights out. And, you know, that's a pretty solid K-State team that they beat. But now here comes Goliath at Alabama. I made the line 20. It's at 18.5 at most spots now. Just your thoughts on Vandy in general and what we have in store with the mighty Crimson Tide coming to Nash Vegas this week.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I thought coming into the season that this would be Derek Mason's best team, 16 returning starters. I thought and they'd make some strides on the offensive side, and they have. I mean, Shermer's been efficient. Nothing overwhelming, but they haven't had much offense the last couple of seasons. And, I thought they missed Cunningham, the linebacker, who was, an early-round pick in the NFL draft and was a tackling machine, but they replaced him quite well. I don't care who you're playing. In today's day and age of college football, if you're only giving up 13 points combined in 3 games, you're playing some pretty darn good defense. And obviously they're going to be up against it this week. I agree with you. I think, a handicapping line for me would have Alabama 20. Pure power rating, I think the number's fair at 18.5. Obviously going to be a lower scoring game. I think Alabama's going to travel extremely well. Keep in mind this is their first trip to Nashville, even though they play in the same conference since 2007. So I don't think you can award Vanderbilt full home field advantage in this one. The locals would be excited, but I think in favor of Alabama is the fact that they're only coming off of Fresno State and Colorado State with not much of a look ahead for next week. So I think they'll be focused, and I don't think there's going to be any look ahead. Obviously, Vanderbilt winning outright over Kansas State last week will grab their attention. So, yeah, anything under 20, I agree with you. Alabama's probably the play here in a lower scoring game. I'm thinking something like 34-13-ish or 34-10.
One ATS note there with the win last week that improved Vandy to 9-3 against the spread as a home dog on Derek Mason's watch, and completely accurate Brad's assessment of the crowd. I went to my first Florida at Vandy game last year, and the Gators had it had the stadium taken over, but no, there's more excitement on Vandy's side this time around. But I think it'll be lucky if it's 50-50 for Vandy, because Alabama travels as good as anybody in America anyway. Where to next? So many places we could go. Let's talk some non-Power 5 and San Diego State with a couple of impressive wins. Is Stanford that down this year? As I'm scrolling down your power rankings looking to see where you have them, Rashad Penny, he's leading the nation in rushing, and maybe touch on a little bit of South Florida that looked to be a go against team early, but I know Illinois is not worth a damn, but South Florida looked more impressive last week. Any thoughts on those squads just in general moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, San Diego State, I mean, they've been stable already the last couple of years, back-to-back 11-win seasons, back-to-back Mountain West champs, and going to be the overwhelming favorite moving forward this year. Not sure if I like the spot this week on the road at Air Force. If you throw out that outlier 2013 season for Air Force, where they went 2-10, were playing a bunch of freshmen and sophomores, were banged up. They're 10-1 against the number as a home underdog. But with that being said, Pure Powering says the line this week at Air Force should be probably 6-ish. I only have San Diego State at number 41. Seems a little low, but again, from the power ratings aspect, my power ratings are higher than the current market. It's nothing fluky what they've done the last couple of weeks, winning against Arizona State and Stanford. Running the football, they lose Donnell Pumphrey. People forget Penny last year, even with Pumphrey running for over 2,000 yards, he ran for 1,000 yards, and he might be, you know, even more talented than Pumphrey, or at least maybe a little bit more durable. He's got a little bit bigger stature. I'm a huge fan of Rocky Long. He plays and coaches the game actually like I would do it. I mean, I'm old school, play defense, not use a fullback, run right at people. People in today's day and age are afraid of contact. Everyone wants to spread everyone around. And if you go opposite that way of thinking, a lot of times teams aren't used to getting punched in the mouth anymore when it comes to today's day and age. And on the opposite side, you're right, South Florida I thought would be play against. You know, didn't look good early against San Jose State, down 16-0, rally and actually get backdoored late against San Jose State. And then not a good look against Stony Brook a couple weeks ago before the hurricane. And they're down 10-7 at halftime, rally, but not cover there. I thought a week off, they might be distracted. So, I mean, I went against them last week with Illinois plus a 17.5 and took one on the chin.
So did I.
Maybe they're finally clicking here. It'll be interesting moving forward, but laying 20.5 to Temple, and I'm not a fan of whatever I've seen from Temple, but that looks, again, like a steep number. Not sure I'll be partaking in that one, though, after taking one on the chin going up against Charlie Strong and company last week.
I don't think I can ever remember, I won't reveal my age, but I've been pretty much an SEC hardcore fan since the early 80s. I can't ever remember the coaching being this bad. I mean, to me, only 6 of 14 programs feel good about their head coach. And that might even be a little bit. I mean, that's counting. And Stoops is doing a heck of a job at Kentucky right now. 10-3 in its last 13 regular season. But he was on the hot seat at this time last year, certainly after that beatdown they took at the Swamp. And, you know, Kirby only went 7-5 in his first year. So, I mean, I'm counting Georgia and Kentucky. I'm counting South Carolina among the six teams. You know, I think Muschamp's doing a good job. Man, crushing loss for them with Deebo Samuel, though, last week. But so many of these coaches are on the hot seat to me. And for people that don't think even – I know the half glass full with McElwain is that he's 12-1 at home. He's never lost an SEC game at home. He's 2-2 getting to Atlanta. But these are the dark ages. This is the dark ages era of the SEC East. The division's been horrible for years. And you look at it statistically, Florida's offense is worse now. Literally, no, there's no pulling any punches. You can, they are worse on offense now than with Muschamp. I won't be shocked if I'm a Gator, if you know Brad. I will not be shocked if we lose not only at Kentucky this week, where we have the longest current head-to-head winning streak of any rivalry in the nation, 30 games, and we got Vandy next week. And look, so A&M Arkansas, stakes could not be higher for Sumlin in Bulima. I mean, how many coaches do you think are going to be out of a job? I mean, I think it's going to be more than four this year. And then just back to us, you know, our gambling talk, what do you think on Arkansas, A&M, and or Florida, Kentucky?
Yeah, I'll start off with the overall theme of the coaching in the SEC. I mean, Nick Saban's been, you know, as good as he's been for the conference and particularly for Alabama, he's been bad for the other programs. And in any other era in college football, the Les Miles and the Mark Richts of the world, that would have been good enough for those fan bases, in my opinion. But everybody wants to win the national championship. Heck, Les Miles, you know, was fortunate. It was the 2007 season that was pretty ridiculous that he got a national title. But, you know, Nick Saban and then Urban Meyer, when he was at Florida, ruined it for a lot of other coaches out there. And we've seen a mass exodus. And the hires just haven't been good. They haven't hired guys with relatively coaching experience, guys that at major programs. The other conferences have done it. I mean, Michigan's hired a Jim Harbaugh. Ohio State went out and got Urban Meyer. Even to a lesser extent, James Franklin goes from Vanderbilt to Penn State. So it's not a good look as far as the coaching. As far as these couple of weeks games that are pivotal, I would look at that Texas A&M Arkansas game. I've had Arkansas tickets, I felt like, last couple of years, and have come up short in agonizing fashion. Not sure I'll get to an Arkansas ticket this year. I thought, you know, I get why Kevin Sumlin's on the hot seat this year, and deservedly so, but I thought coming into the season, this was going to be his maybe his worst team, and I thought he would be doing a good, solid coaching job if he got him to 8 wins. I mean, heck, their season win total in Vegas was only 7 or 7.5, so I know the AD came out here, we need to win more than 8 games. Reality is I'd be cashing an over ticket if he won 8 games this year, so I already thought he was up against it, and obviously the week one wasn't a good look. Week two wasn't. Yeah, they finally got a cover last week against Louisiana Lafayette. Big game for both coaches. Bielema deservedly on the hot seat after taking one on the chin 2 weeks ago against TCU. Won't get in there, but give me a lean on Arkansas plus the points. Other game, I hate to go against your Gators, but I already bet Kentucky plus 4, 4.5 at the win on Sunday. I think it's a bad spot for them. I get it that they've won 30 in a row. They've covered 9 out of the last 10 meetings, too. Unless they get the suspended players back, I don't see it on
that
the
ain't
offense.
Happening. That ain't happening.
Yeah, I know. And I think Kentucky circled this one. I think they're playing possum the first 2 weeks of the season against Southern Miss and Eastern Kentucky. Very good performance last week on the road against South Carolina. And this is the game they've been waiting for, I think, all offseason. They've been close a couple of times here recently to get Florida, and I think they actually pull the outright upset. So I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like if when this streak breaks, it feels like, I mean, it's just going to flood. Like not only will Kentucky win, they might just kick Florida's ass by 3 or 4 touchdowns. Florida cannot score. It's ridiculous. And I don't know. I don't think they're going to get the players back at all this year. I mean, there's about to be some felony grand theft charges against two of the guys, including Callaway. Callaway's never going to wear a Gator uniform again. And really the only one of super significance is Jordan Scarlett. But, you know, a couple of the freshmen – or I'm sorry, the freshman with the big run last week looked good. Thompson broke one against Michigan, got called back with a holding, and P. Ryan. So I'm not even – in my mind, just as a Gator, I'm just like, all right, these guys are gone, and they're gone, and they're not coming back. Maybe they will come back, but it won't be anytime soon. I know you got to get going here soon, but let me throw one more game out at you. I'm going to do a double on you. Southern Cal at Cal, and then just off the top of your head, who wins outright in Pullman next week when the Trojans come calling?
Yeah, I think it's a tough scheduling spot, and I just wasn't a fan of USC's overall schedule this year. Number one, only Power 5 team not to have a bye, and while I power rated them as a favorite in all their in all 12 of their games this year, you with California already off to a 3-0 start under Justin Wilcox, and you know, USC's, and that was the thing. I thought they could get banged up a little bit playing Stanford and Texas back-to-back, and you look at the injury report, and it's not good right now for them, especially Porter Gustin could be out for an extended period of time, one of my favorite outside linebackers in the entire country. Fortunate last week to win. They didn't have the killer instinct. They should have really put it to Texas early, missed some scoring opportunities, and they let Texas in the game. That Stanford dominating win doesn't look so good now after San Diego State beat Stanford, and boy, Western Michigan hasn't set the world on fire in their last two games, nearly losing to Idaho, and then Michigan State took it to them. So I'm not, you know, the jury's still out how good this USC team is. I mean, I got them power rated, obviously, and they're still in the top 10, but this week I think it's, even though they dominated the series history against Cal, they won 13 in a row, they're 10-2 against the number last 12. 16.5 is too large for me. I'm going to be taking Cal, hopefully wait for a 17 to pop out there, give me Cal plus the points, and boy, that's a dangerous spot on the road on a Friday night next week. That was one I circled early in the season, and that's the fifth straight home game for Washington State. They'll be fired up. One of the biggest games they've ever hosted. Washington State will be the play there. No doubt about it.
You going to say they went outright? Because I'll say it.
Yeah. You know, it really depends on what happens this week.
Sure.
To really set that up, and to catch some value, I would not, even though I'm going to have a California ticket, it won't be a strong one, I'd like USC to annihilate Cal, drive that number up an extra point or so, and really come in hot and heavy on Washington State, and have Washington State fool around with Nevada. So Yeah, I'm gonna call for the outright upset, and I'm hoping to get a really good number.
Great stuff, Brad. Really appreciate your time. Brad Powers of pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7, the number, not spelled out. Let's do it again sometime soon, and enjoyed it, man.
Hey, right back at you. Let's do it again. Take care. Enjoy the week.
Good stuff. All right, Brad Powers of pregame.com. Let's take a break and come back, and we'll go through last week. We'll look ahead to this week on this Tuesday, September 19th, Blue Mountain Beach, Florida. Harbo and I, games galore. 16. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. Games Galore Podcast 16. All right, let's get into, and you can go to VegasInsider.com if you wish, and you can read my week three, The Aftermath, which covers a lot. Butch Jones's utter incompetence.
Butch.
That ass beating Mississippi State put on LSU. And like Brad said, I mean, I wasn't shocked Mississippi State won, but to freaking beat them by 4 touchdowns and change, are you kidding me? 37-7. Wow. And you put Ed Orgeron right there in the mix with, oh, and by the way, I was wanting to make this comment when Brad was talking. Without question, of all these hot seat coaches in the SEC, Kevin Sumlin's the best coach out of all of them. And it's not even close. It's just, it just is what it is with A&M. You know, they've had these great starts. They fade late. And, you know, they've sunk so many hundreds of millions into that program. And, you know, that first year in the SEC, you know, they got a taste of, you know, being there close in the race. And it's just kind of been gradually going a bit south since then. But Kevin Sumlin, A, he's been paid handsomely. He will be fine and dandy. And, shit, I'll take him as my coach. I'll take another guy as my coach right now too. That's Jeff Brohm at Purdue. Look at this guy, back and forth seesaw game with Louisville to start. I think if I'm remembering correctly, that game had 6 lead changes and 2 ties, and they lose by 7. Then they blast, you know, a quality mid-major in Ohio, and then they go to Missouri as. And I know that line came down Saturday. I forget where it closed. Might have closed at 5. Or even less, and they just wax Missouri, and that there's the worst. Well, no, Butch Jones is the worst of all these SEC hot seat coaches. But Barry Odom is likely going to get fired in 2 years. Hell, if this thing goes south on LSU, I mean, I don't know what they made the buyout on Orgeron. I don't think it was. I'd have to go figure all that out. But like I said, when I was talking to Brad about it, there's only 6 of 14 SEC schools that feel good about their head coach. Only 6. And so on that note, I'll go through the 8 that don't feel good. Well, A&M doesn't feel good because the circumstances are what they are, but you just heard what I said about Sumlin, and I'll stand by that for a long time. Wherever Sumlin goes, he will be a success. And he'll be a head coach, too, unless he wants to go be offensive coordinator in the NFL, which he could do. He was getting calls after, you know, his first and second year in A&M. He was getting calls to be a head coach in the NFL. Remember, the Eagles in particular were after him.
Butch is done.
Oh, God. He is so done. You know, I kind of want to read verbatim what I wrote in my article because I think you'll enjoy it.
Just give me a taste.
Well, no, I'm almost down to it. Here's the big picture. Jones is an idiot with zero clue about how to manage a game. He's blown 3 of the last 4 games against Florida that should have been UT wins. He blew the Oklahoma game 2 years ago. His decisions in a loss to Arkansas 2 years ago were questionable at best. He's 2-2 against Vandy, has never beaten Will Muschamp, and is 14-19 in SEC play. Factor in the nonsense and excuses that come out of his mouth regularly, And you have a rabid fan base that hates him and wants him gone. That's his fate come late November. That is what will happen. You shall see if you don't believe. And this Mike Griffin guy, man. Oh, my gosh. He went on Feinbaum again last week and threw out that moronic stat. And Feinbaum, to his credit, actually blasted him for it. And I loved it. Way to go, Paul. He was like, oh, it comes. He threw his pen in the air. Here comes that stat that just means absolutely nothing. Because they won six in a row, I think, at the end of 14. Or was it 15? Hold on, let me get my Tennessee page.
Either way, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Okay. Like, yeah. This Mike Griffin guy. Is it Griffin or Griffith? I forget. He's of SECCountry.com. And Paul and him got into a nice debate last week. Okay, so here it is. Yeah, it's the end of 15. Okay, they went at Kentucky. They beat South Carolina as a 17-point favorite. When Spurrier had already resigned, they got an interim coach, 17-point favorite. They beat South Carolina by 3. South Carolina, that big-ass tight end, had the ball inside the red zone with less than a minute, and he fumbles. And so they were, at worst, we're going to have – and they had a good field goal kicker then. And South Carolina's kicking game killed it last week. I mean, they were long kicks, but he missed 3 field goals. 2 of them were 50-plus, and one was in the 40s. But he missed the extra point, too. So, yeah, let's go through these 17 wins Mike Griffith keeps talking about. Let's see how many of them are against ranked teams. All right, none were in 15. Oh, wait, I take that back. The winner of a Northwestern, a bowl game. Northwestern was ranked. Sorry. Okay, so after that South Carolina game, they were fortunate to win against a dog shit team. They beat North Texas 24-0 as a 41.5-point favorite, non-cover. Then they won at Missouri 19-8. Then they beat Vandy 53-28. Okay, the next year, or after the Northwestern win, okay, the game they got lucky as hell to beat App State. App State missed an extra point and a field goal and was up by double digits at halftime. Hell, they beat Ohio 28-19 as a 27.5-point favorite. That game was a one-possession game most of the way. They fell behind Florida 21-0, but they ended up winning. They beat Georgia on a Hail Mary only because Georgia got a celebration penalty when Eason threw that touchdown pass with 10 seconds left. Okay, and then they have 3 losses, and then they beat Tennessee Tech, Kentucky, and Missouri. Okay, and then to start this year, they beat Georgia Tech and Indiana State. They were unranked. So the stat that Mike Griffin or Griffith, and I apologize, I should look that up. I'm not trying to be a smartass there toward him. But they've beaten one ranked team, Mike. One. Why do you keep using this statistic? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Gosh, I'm the dumbass. Florida was ranked last year and Georgia was ranked. Georgia was 25, for goodness sake, and Florida was 19. My mistake, my mistake, my mistake. Mike is a lot smarter than I'm giving him credit for here.
Either way, Butch is in trouble.
Oh, wait, and the 16 Music City Bowl. God, I'm the dumbass. My fault. I'm the dummy. My bad. What would my high school basketball coach say when I would say my bad? I forget what he would say. It drove him nuts. If I commit a turnover, my bad.
Yeah, it is your bad, Edwards.
Yeah, it is your damn bad. That's right. So, yeah, my bad, Mike. All right, four ranked teams they've beaten during these 17 wins. God, I did the stat early in the year going into the season. I don't think Butch has beaten a top 10 team. Should have beaten. No, Oklahoma was not a top 10 team in that week 2 game 2 years ago. But anyway. All right. So what the fuck was Butch doing with 9 seconds? And what the hell was McElwain doing too? Now, they didn't have the cameras on McElwain. On the 2nd and 5 play, I think it was from our own 28. You get 4 yards, and they didn't have the cameras on McElwain. I'm presuming, well, that's what I wrote in my article. I presume he was arguing for the refs to clock the stop and stop the clock and measure.
Right.
Now, I don't know if that happened, but because the cameras weren't on him, but he was short, and the time keeps running. And look, okay, I get it. I don't like to run 2-minute stuff in conservative fashion, especially like. I mean, maybe if you're up by, you know, maybe it's the first half and you're up by 14. Yeah, yeah, run it conservatively.
Right.
But in other words, it's going to be a third and short play, Harbaugh. So if he calls timeout right then with 35 seconds left,
right,
you know, the conservative thinking would be, okay, if we don't get this, it's fourth down, and now Tennessee will get the ball back with, you know, 25 seconds left.
Right.
But they're going to get it like at their own 20. And, yeah, maybe they
You're just trying to burn off time.
Yeah, well, that's a conservative way to look at it. Yeah, right. It's to burn off some time in case we don't get it on third down. But I think aggressively. I mean, this is the Florida Gators. We're in the swamp. We don't think conservatively. Let's think aggressively. Let's call a timeout right there. We've got a kicker who made a freaking 80-yard field goal, albeit against air, in a YouTube video this summer. He's also had where he's made it from 70. He kicks off and kicks it through the end zone every time. I mean, there's no reason why we couldn't have been, you know, shooting for a field goal even from as far out as 65 yards. I mean, he can make that, potentially. Not for sure. And then again, there's the conservative, oh, what if they block it and return it for a touchdown and we lose? Okay, you know, I mean, and I guess people could look at the example of the kick six return in the Auburn-Alabama game. Not a block, but, you know, it was short, and he returned it all the way. That was a 57-yarder, and, you know, Saban threw the red flag to review whether there should have been time on the clock, and they ruled there should have been.
Your coach had tears in his eyes at the end there.
I'm tired of that shit, too.
Quavering voice.
I'm tired of that shit, too. I mean, he acts like just Barney Fife and all shucks us, man. All this criticism we get, but hey, we won. Hey, look, pretty cool, huh? He's used that damn pretty cool, huh, quote.
It's pretty cool, guys.
I'm tired of it. I am tired of that damn pretty cool, huh? And we're beat to heck and back. You know, that sounded good at LSU last year, but I'm done with it. I'm over it. I want first downs, and I want touchdowns, and I want lots of them. So,
you tell him, Brian.
Harbaugh had to move up to get the volume button there and kind of kill it a little bit because he knew I was getting a little worked up. Obviously, we need to talk about something else besides Gators,
let's
right?
Keep going. You won. You won.
Yeah, we won. We won. We won. And I was so I had my under bet, which was. It was 6-3 going into the fourth quarter. I had under 50, okay? And the first offensive touchdown of the game was not scored until 8:36 left. But Florida had gotten a pick six to make it 13-3. Tennessee, Kelly scores like a 35-yard run. We broke like six tackles. And that, again, bad to Butch. I mean, that first and goal of the one, Kelly doesn't even touch the ball. He's the best player on the field, not named. Maybe Martez Ivy or Duke Dawson, maybe. And they get the penalty, and then he throws it three times. We nearly intercepted another time. And by the way, Duke Dawson is highly questionable per McElwain, but Dawson tweeted yesterday, he's fine, he's playing. And I love it when they say these days a head injury, and they won't use the C word.
Right.
Concussion word.
He bumped his head.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm on board with people who have concussions. I think they should be out a mandatory of one week.
For sure.
And by the way, I never got back to my cousin, Jacob Doddridge. I mentioned him last week and then got off on a tangent, never came back to him. 3-star prospect out of Dallas South Lake Carroll High School. He got a concussion. He sat out last week, and they have an open date this week. He is going to visit Stanford this week again. They want him as a fullback. We will keep tabs on that, as we have in the past. Jacob Dodgers, that's my cousin. Okay, Nebraska. Oh, my gosh. And I'm on Sharp and Benning every Thursday, 1620 The Zone in Omaha. We talk a lot of Nebraska in the summer. And if memory serves, I had looked up Tanner Lee's stats at Tulane. I think he had an 18-15 TDI and T ratio. You can check me on that. I'm pretty sure that's accurate. An 18-15 TDI and T ratio, and that's at Tulane. that's just wasn't impressive to me coming in. And I told Gary and Damon that I thought that. I'm not saying they had the opposite opinion. That was just my thoughts on it. Well, he throws two pick sixes. And look, there was a time when Northern Illinois, you know, was going to the Orange Bowl 4 or 5 years ago. And was the, you know, the MAC powerhouse. That time has passed, folks. I think I saw a stat from Pat Forty the other day that they were 11-17 in their last 18. Yeah, because they went 5-7 last year. Now, they had gone, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, they had had 5 seasons in a row from 2010 to 2014 where they won at least 11. But not the case here lately. They go 5-7 last year. They lost to Boston College at home in their opener. Then they beat FCS Eastern Illinois. And then they go to Lincoln and they win last week 21-17. I mean, gift-wrapped a pair of pick sixes. But now Mike Riley, he's got Rutgers at home this week and then at Illinois on a short week. I mean, surely they beat Rutgers. But at Illinois the next week, that's no gimme. That's I like that little running back, the true freshman for Illinois. Epstein, he's a good little back. But I, like Brad Powers noted earlier, I had a L on Illinois. The midweek games are not treating me right. My Saturdays and Sundays are doing very well. And by the way, on that note, 4-1 Saturday, only L South Carolina. Oh, it's, yeah, so, I don't know. I was talking about the under on the Florida game. So,
right.
Yeah, all of a sudden it gets to, well, Florida went ahead 20-10 on a touchdown. And the next, and 30 seconds later, Tennessee had like a 3-play drive for a touchdown. So it's 20-17. And then I'm just worried about overtime because overtime, you can get all the points. And yeah, a game that was 6-3 in the start of the fourth quarter with 9 combined points could have, if 20-20 is 40, obviously, for overtime. And then right, no telling what happens. So I was getting nervous. So that's why I was elated when we hit the bomb.
There you go.
I was elated. For my under, I was furious at Florida for not, you know, burning a timeout with that when the play ended with 35 seconds left on third down, facing a 3rd-and-1, use the timeout, have 1 left and have 35 seconds. Instead, they run a short run, took them forever to get it off, and after the play, it's 1st down, but there's only 9 seconds left. Okay, so you still had time to maybe get. And you had to get 20 yards to set up a 60-yard field goal. Yeah, you got time to get a 20-yard gain. But if you get flushed from the pocket, that's out the window, and that's what happened with Franks. He got flushed out of the pocket, and so he's got to throw it deep. And how and why Butch Jones, I mean, at the start of that play, he should have had 4 guys lined up back, you know, inside the 10-yard line, if not at the goal line. Period. End of story.
Well, that's why he's in trouble, man.
End of story. I mean, it's not for debate, Butch. It's not. There is no excuse for it. There is no rationale or reasoning for any of this stuff he does. The opening drive against Oklahoma 2 years ago, you march it down. You're on the 1-inch line. The 1-inch line on your opening drive, you take a field goal. You go for that. You get a touchdown. And even if you don't get it, they got to go 99 yards. You know, put your defense in a great spot to start the game. They were up 17-0 in that game. And he's just a moron. That's what one of the callers on Fine Mom, I forget which one. I think it's Jim from Tuscaloosa. He calls him moron. But anywho.
I don't mean to draw attention to, you know, one spot on your weekend, but did you watch the Kentucky game?
Yeah, but I did not have volume. I was kind of simultaneously watching that in Vandy, K-State, and gotcha. Mississippi State and LSU.
It wasn't really exciting, but they grinded it out, man.
Well, Kentucky's got a really good defense. They've got a really good and they were missing their best defensive player, Jordan Jones, who I presume is still a question mark for the Gators, and I'll look that up right this momento. And right now that Gator line is sitting at 3 at most, but we got some totals filtering out. Okay, 44. I think that's exactly what I made the Gator total. Oh, whoa, no. Keelan Johnson is downgraded to doubtful. That's not good. Goolsby still a question mark, as is Dawson. And, oh, Jordan Jones downgraded to doubtful for Kentucky. So that's not good for the Cats. But they still had a outstanding defensive effort. Last week, I mean, they hold South Carolina to 13, and South Carolina scored a touchdown on the first play from scrimmage, right?
Yep.
60, yep. And that was Debo again, and he's out for the season. Also, a couple injury notes. A.J. Brown, who was leading the nation in receiving for Ole Miss going into last week, but did not play against Cal. He's out for one or two more weeks, with a sprained MCL. And more bad news for Tennessee on the injury front. Cortez McDowell is out for the season, so their three projected starting linebackers, Austin Smith and Darren Kirkland, along with McDowell, are now out for the season. And their leading tackler last year, Todd Kelly, the safety, who I'm sure Butch is using that excuse for why he didn't have, why with no time left in the game, they had man coverage on Tyree Cleveland. I mean, what the fuck was it? I mean, moron. Complete moron is what he is. Yeah, so Todd Kelly, their starting safety, is out. They have been, I don't mean to make any excuses for Butch, he makes enough himself, but they have been decimated by injuries the last 2 years. But guess who's familiar with that? I am. I'm familiar with that. Oh, and back to the statistics on the Gators offense with Muschamp and with McElwain. I was not doing any exaggerating there, folks. I got these stats ready for you. Okay. All right. So in three of Muschamp seasons, the Gators averaged 30.3 points per game, 26.5, and 25.5. Okay. Now, the opening year, when they averaged 25.5, the Gators were 4-0 when John Brantley got hurt at midfield. The Gators were driving down 17-10 to Bama when he had the ankle injury. Okay, so Driscoll's a true freshman, and Jacoby Brissett are true freshmen. Driscoll plays the rest of the Alabama game, but he gets hurt. So Jacoby Brissett, never taking collegiate snap, has to start at LSU the next week. So what I'm getting at is that there were injuries, you know, that year when they averaged 26.5 or 25.5 points per game. Now, the 1 year where they went 4-8 and they only averaged 18.8, if you will remember that, and that was 2012, correct? No, 2013. So if you remember, Game 3, Tennessee, Driscoll throws a pick 6, broken leg in the first half of Game 3, okay? Brissett, after spring practice, had decided to transfer because Driscoll was named the starter. So all Florida had was Tyler Murphy, a leftover from the Urban era, who had never taken a snap at quarterback. They tried to get him to change positions. He refused. So Tyler Murphy becomes the starter. Then he gets hurt. And then Marty Morningwig's son starts playing. He had never taken a snap. So 9 of 12 games were with a guy who had never taken a snap coming into the season. So Muschamp gets a mulligan there. All right. 18.8 points per game. All right. With McElwain, 23.2, and rapid improvement the next year from 23.2 points per game to 23.9 points per game. Now, okay, after CJ Henderson's pick 6 last week, he had 2 touchdowns in 7 quarters of play, while the offense had no touchdowns. And the defense had 3 touchdowns because Dawson had a pick 6 against Michigan.
This is true.
Michigan. So, finally, Florida scored a touchdown. They've scored 2 touchdowns in 8 quarters. I mean, this was the guy that was supposed to have Clarabelle. And like you say, he's all like almost crying and this is pretty cool, huh?
It wasn't almost.
I mean, did tears? Yeah, he had tears in his eyes.
Well, he had like the lip quiver. I was like, God, suck it up.
I mean, you can't really think that like Florida fans are out of line for being absolutely disgusted by this display of offense on his during his tenure. I mean, and if he thinks we're out of line, he's out of line. Yep. Uh-huh. How about Purdue? That's who I want. I want Jeff Brohm as my coach. And you know who plays Purdue this weekend, Harbo?
I do.
Who?
I do.
Michigan. Look at the job David Cutcliffe doing, another great job.
What are the numbers on that game?
Michigan is favored by 10. Total of 52.
Gotcha.
Now, I'm getting these totals from offshores. They could very well come out way different when the Vegas boys chime in. Penn State at Iowa. A little minor tester. What did I make that game? I think I made Penn State like 17. It's 12 and a half. That means Penn State. Oh, no, I didn't. I'm sorry. I made it 14. I made Clemson 32. What are they? They're 34. I made the Gators 5, but that was before Duke Dawson was questionable. UCF at Maryland. Where is that game? I made Duke North Carolina pick 'em. Duke is 2.5. I made Wake 4 at App State. They are 4.5 or 5. I think I made West Virginia. Didn't I make them like 25? Where are they? West Virginia. Yeah, I made them 25 and they're 22, but I don't need that kind of road chalk. Well, I say that. My road chalk with Oak State worked swimmingly last week. That was the lead of my article in Saturday's Las Vegas Review Journal, and that was a noon Eastern game. And it was 42-7 before you could blink. And Brad Powers and I hit on Oak State. They're nasty. Justice Hill, James Washington, Jalen McCleskey, Mason Rudolph. This Heisman thing is going to be all about Mason Rudolph and Baker Mayfield, unless Nick Fitzgerald and Mississippi State remain in SEC West contention, kind of like, you know, when Dak became a Heisman contender couple years back. And Dan Mullen is doing a hell of a job, and he's going to be in demand. But I was listening to Bo Bounds, and Bo has the best radio show in the state of Mississippi, out of Jackson, the Out of Bounds show. He used to have me on weekly. He'll have me on once a blue moon these days. Been a while. Call me up, Bo.
Come on, bro.
He was on Fine Bomb yesterday, and Mullen's getting paid nearly $5 million a year. So all these SEC teams with jobs, if they're coming after him, I mean, there's your starting price. Your starting price is now, I don't know that I agree with Bo necessarily, in the sense that Mullen wouldn't leave for equal pay, because – and he knows this, and he said it. I mean, you know, Mississippi State's – well, I don't know if Mississippi State or Arkansas is the toughest job in the West. I take that back. Ole Miss is the toughest job in the West for the next 5 to 10 years. And by the way, another chapter in Hugh Freeze's sordid story and scandal broken this morning by the Wall Street Journal Sports. It's basically just coming from Thomas Mars, Houston Nutt's attorney, who has been such a godsend of information upon the improprieties going on up in Ole Miss. But they had burner phones, which begs the question:
why did he use the non-burner?
Thank you. Why did he use the school-issued phone to call the escort?
He's probably drunk.
If he had a burner phone, or he was perhaps too consumed with tweeting his next Bible verse while he was calling the escort simultaneously, or using the burner phone to text a recruit, and he told the recruits, don't put any names in the contact section. Allegedly, per Thomas Mars and documents he has obtained, which will become... Ole Miss is going to face this music here real soon. And you know what? I think I saw... I had said that their hearing with the Committee on Infractions is... I said a few weeks back that was in November. I think I saw October 19th as a date, if I'm not mistaken. And let me go to my Mississippi State page because two of their players are going to be called. When is their open date? Oh, their open date is October 7th.
They'll be on the stand.
If October 19th is correct, that's a Thursday before they play Kentucky at home. Where's the NCAA based out of? Indianapolis, I believe. Anyhow, I don't ever want to visit that place. Why would I need to know? Wait a second. Nebraska is really only favored by 13.5 against Rutgers? Oh, boy. Janarion Grant might get nasty. Oh, Nebraska's running back Trey Bryant, 299 yards, 2 touchdowns on the year, is a question mark. Wait, are they really only favored by 13.5 over Rutgers? My goodness. My goodness. I mean, you know, we've got teams hauling on hard times like my Gators. But, man, Nebraska. Whew, boy, have they fallen on hard times. They need to go get Mike Leach. Or everybody needs to go get Mike Leach. And Washington State is going to beat USC outright next week. You heard it here first. I said it since the summer. And I bet it. Plus 10 was the line this summer in the games of the year. Oh, what's going on with Stanford? I think my boy Hayden Smith got bageled the other day. Don't think he had a catch when I looked at that box score. Willie Taggart's doing a good job at Oregon. Yeah, let me go back to my my article and hit on some of the topics. More than 3,700 words. Did I already say that, Harbo?
You did. That's a lot.
Took me a while. Hours. By the way, that Northern Illinois money line ticket was plus 350. The biggest chalk to lose last week, that would be Nevada, who plays Washington State this week in Pullman. They lost 30-28 to Idaho State as a 34.5-point favorite. And remember that loss by UNLV to Howard earlier this year in the opener was, I want to say it was 43.5. The Stanford-USC game back in 07 was 41.5, I believe. And by the way, BYU is the biggest disappointment in the nation so far. 9-4 last year, 4 losses by 8 combined points. Right now they're 1-3 straight up, 0-4 against the spread. They barely beat Portland State in their lone straight up win. Tanner Mangum is struggling after a 23-10 TDI and T ratio when Taysom Hill got hurt 2 years ago, but he's 2-4 TDI and T right now. He's out indefinitely with an ankle injury. Harbaugh's boy, Tariq Black, the true freshman, who had a team-high 11 catches, 149 yards, 1 touchdown. He's excuse me.
It's not looking good. He's got to get surgery. Broken foot.
Yeah. I'm going to say 6 to 8 weeks, but I don't know.
I mean, if you're going in for surgery, it's going to be a while.
Yeah. Connor, excuse me, folks. Connor Williams, Texas's All-American offensive tackle, out indefinitely, meniscus tear, sprains of his MCL and PCL, slated to have surgery next week. Oh, and Washington State, a big loss at linebacker Peyton Pelure. I hope I have that pronounced correct. Per a report from the Lewiston Tribune, I guess we're going to assume Lewiston is a small town in the sticks of Washington State. Anyway, had a team-best 93 tackles last year. Out for the rest of the regular season. He had started 34 consecutive games. Fractured foot. I think I noted, or maybe I... Well, I know I was talking about Vandy, and I said something about Stockstill. But Stockstill for Middle Tennessee, questionable this week, as is Richie James. Richie James, 105 catches, 1,625 yards, 12 touchdowns last season. Former Florida offensive coordinator Brent Pease took another pink slip. Was fired by Muschamp years ago at Florida, had previously served under Chris Peterson at Boise State. UTEP fired him earlier this week. And Auburn quarterback Sean White, public intoxication arrest.
Uh-oh.
Late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, whichever you prefer. Booted from the program by Gus Malzahn. And then this morning, Byron Cowart decided to transfer, and Auburn granted him a release. Former five-star recruit, one-time commit to the Gators before Muschamp was fired and went to Auburn, and then Muschamp helped Malzahn get Cowart to Auburn. But the number one ranked player in the nation per Rivals.com in 2014 only made 15 tackles in 26 career games for the Aubies. Okay, Southern Cal. Sam Darnold, he did have three touchdown passes, but he was intercepted twice. One pick six. Can't do that. And Tom Herman's success as a double-digit underdog continued. However, the Trojans do survive a double overtime game, 27-24. By the way, did I? Yeah, no, I did mention the Wildcats have won 10 of their last 13 regular season games. I wonder if your father-in-law knows that.
I'm sure.
I'll drop that stat on. I need to start talking shit to him this week. I don't know, man. They might beat us, though.
They looked good.
Oh, God. He'll be the happiest man on the planet if they win.
You just might as well turn your phone off if they win.
I don't care. Whatever, dude. Whatever.
Well, you're just going to get text after text after text.
Well, no, he can do that. And I'll just be like, you know, hey, one in 31 is not bad. I mean, I've beaten you in basketball plenty. So this we know. We beat you three times in 1 year right when I was getting to know you, pal. And where the hell's my beef stew? We had Jim Rohde on, what, 4 months ago, and he owed me beef stew.
Yeah.
From that Super Bowl Eve beatdown the Gators, the Mighties gave Kentucky in hoops. He still owes me that beef stew. Oh, did he tell you how he sent me a picture of his wife's spaghetti last week?
No.
Like, he had eaten like all the plate except for like two bites. And he took a picture of it and sent it to me. He goes, "We've got a little bit of Shelly Sketty left right here."
Just a little bit, bud.
God, and I was starving. I was so hungry at the time. And I think I went to Cristiano's and got spaghetti. But it's not as good as Shelly's. I do like Cristiano's, though. Highway 98, Santa Rosa Beach. Man, Laura Rutledge was looking really good on Pine Bomb yesterday. I only thought of that because they had a caller from Santa Rosa Beach, and she was talking about how beautiful it is down here, and she is a Gator as well. All right, let's take a break. We've got a little UFC to talk. We'll look ahead to a couple more games. Games Galore podcast episode 16, Harbo and I. We'll be back to wrap things up. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. Games Galore Pod 16, Harbo and I, your host, Brian Edwards. Check out all my work at BrianEdwardsSports.com. You can also read my Week 3 Aftermath on VegasInsider.com. You can get all my picks on my website in college football. Well, I'm 13-8 overall, 61.9% up 4.3 units. But I write a Saturday column in the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And those picks went 4-1 Saturday. That was on top of a 7-3-1. So I'm 11-4 on Saturdays. And that's on the Review Journal. I actually, that push was a win for me on VI because I got Georgia Southern plus 35 early, real early. So 12-4 on Saturdays. So check out my Saturday package on BrianEdwardsSports.com this week. Those are my best plays. Now, I did like Illinois last week on that Friday game. No, and I like Boise, too. And I got backdoored in the last minute with the Fighting Bob Davies. Let's hit on NFL because I had a good week. I was 5-1. I hit the Texans on Thursday. I had them as a dog and won outright. I on Sunday went 4-1, Falcons winner, Falcons over winner, fade the Jagoffs. See, yeah, dude, the Jagoffs can't last. What's the word I was looking for? They're
no endurance.
They have no lasting success. They won week one. I did not verbalize that the way I want to. They just suck, as always. I still feel great about my under 6.5 bet, and the Titans walloped them. Oh, the Hoodats, the Aints got smashed, and LSU got smashed. And I got to do hat tip to Bo Bounds again. And he gets another name drop here. He tweeted, "Can you imagine how much alcohol was consumed in Louisiana this weekend?" I mean, not that there that doesn't happen anyway every weekend, but
it's a fair amount all
with
the time.
The Saints getting just destroyed and LSU getting just utterly pimp slapped. Oh.
It was a rough weekend in New Orleans.
Yeah, so I also had the Titans and Ravens as a winner, and my only L in the NFL before the Giants last night was on Sunday was Arizona laying the points. They beat the Colts by 3 in overtime and did not cover. The Falcons look good, man. I said it all summer, this whole runner-up jinx, the Super Bowl runner-up jinx that has been in play for so long. It's not going to happen this year.
I'm
still calling a rematch. Yeah. Now, Falcons do have a big injury. Vic Beasley is out for a month. Boy, he put A-Rodge on his ass the other night. Man, that was a great hit. Falcons win 34-23 as a 3.5-point favorite. The Seahawks got some work to do offensively. And that whole issue that just kind of hovered over the organization during the summer, Richard Sherman on the trading block, Richard Sherman, upset with the offense dating back to the first and goal call in the Super Bowl where they had the interception against New England and lost. That storyline doesn't seem to be going anywhere because they beat the sorry-ass Niners only 12-9. You can't score a touchdown on the Niners, you got issues. Oh, wait, hold on. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't have 2 field goals in the fourth quarter. Let me check that. They did score a touchdown. Ah, that's 2 dumbass incorrect remarks I've made today. Butch Jones's 17 wins. 4 have come over ranked teams, not just 1. And Seattle did score a touchdown. I guess they went for 2.
Too much time in the sun, Brian.
Yep. Got an hour and a half in. I've been up since the crack of dawn. Because your team, nice win for your boys last night.
Thank you. They didn't mess it up. I was excited.
Nice win for them. I fell asleep during the game, though.
Yeah.
And
anytime the Lions win, it's like an angel gets its wing.
There was another key injury in the NFL. I didn't mean to go away
from
your
good. Lions.
Your Lions can get plenty of airtime, as far as I'm concerned. There was another key injury yesterday in the NFL, and I'm shooting a blank on who it was. I feel like it was somebody in the NFC South. Oh, yes. It's Greg Olsen. And I saw he went on IR today. Now, I'm a little confused here because IR used to mean you're done for the season. And I feel like they made a little caveat for it recently. Like, you can, or maybe there's 2 different parts of IR, and it doesn't mean you're definitely done for the season. But if Greg Olsen's done for the season, that is a monstrosity of a loss for the already offensively challenged Carolina Panthers. And the Bucks looked good the other day. The NFC South's the best division in football. Falcons, Panthers, and Bucks, legit playoff contenders. And the Saints aren't that bad. I mean, I know I'm throwing shots at them a minute ago, but they lost to the Patriots. We all know how that feels, certainly. Certainly, I know what it feels like in Houston on a long drive back home. The Ravens are impressing me. And just like Terrell Suggs said in his week 1 post-game presser, shout out to Ozzie Newsome. Some nice off-season acquisitions. The Steelers are a contender as usual. Poor Phillip Rivers. I mean, that guy cannot catch a break every September. I mean, I remember it was like 4 years ago. They had the most unfathomable losses in September. Like, led at halftime in every game. I think they led it in fourth quarter of every game. And then it was 2 years ago, Woodhead gets hurt in like week 1 or week 2. Last year was Keenan Allen. This year, it's their first 2 draft picks in training camp, or before training camp. Oh, Forrest Lamp out of Western Kentucky, I think it was during training camp, the second round pick. But Mike Williams, the number 7 overall pick, the first round a pick for them. He went out before training camp. And then here are these last 2 weeks. Their kicker misses a field goal to force overtime in Denver. You're not supposed to miss kicks in Denver. You got the mile high working for you. I mean, you should be able to make 65. Maybe Eddie Pinheiro for the Gators would make a 90-yard kick in the Mile High City. Made that 80-yarder. McElwain still didn't want to get in field goal range, though. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Packers, you've taken 3 straight ass beatings from me. Deal with that. The Raiders look legit. I like the Raiders being good. You see that dance Marshawn Lynch was doing?
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that awesome? Yeah. Wasn't that awesome? And who are they playing? Shut up, Jet. The Jets were bitching about it. Man, shut up.
They're like the happiest human on earth, and they just cut to his dance.
Man, if I was Marshawn, I'd be one of the happiest humans on earth, too. Oh, man. Okay, so Cutler got a win, and that's because poor Phillip Rivers Chargers cannot hit a field goal to win a game. And Cutler got a W. They had a Hail Mary pass from Cutler that Twitter exploded about. It wasn't that funny. He almost hit some cheerleaders. Who cares? No big deal. No big deal. The Wahoos are on the blue carpet this week. That's a Friday night game. And our boy Christian Alexander's not going. All he had is he lives in L.A. God bless him. I'm not jealous. I mean, God bless him for putting up with it. He lives in L.A. and he's not going to fly to Boise to support his boys. That is ridiculous. I mean, is it just me? Does not everybody want to go see the Smurf Turf before they die? And I'm going to go. FSU plays there in like 2 years. I'm going to go to Tahoe, meet my boy Jokas. And poor FSU in Miami. Yeah, right. but no, seriously, they... I was serious. Yeah, right. Like, I give a shit. No poor FSU in Miami. But I understand if they're bitching and moaning. I mean, you don't get double open dates in September when you've... I mean, Miami has played Bethune-Cookman. And because of all this weather stuff, they haven't played for 2 weeks. Who does Miami have this week? FSU has NC State, and they better watch out. That's a quarterback making his first career start, and that it does suck for the Noles. Again, I got enough issues with my Gators, so clearly, again, I do not give a shit. But if you're an FSU fan, you have every right to be bitching about this weather situation. Because your new QB who needs reps could have got him against ULM. That didn't happen. Then the Miami game gets moved to October 7th. And now you've got a dangerous NC State team coming to town. Oh, Miami has Toledo. And, hey, do not sleep on the Rockets. Oh, and by the way, that over I had on Toledo-Tulsa last week, Harbo, oh, mm-hmm. My God. They both scored in the 50s. It went over 100.
There you go.
Yeah, I got it at like, I think 68, I think. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask, what are the numbers on Miami's game? You have them up?
I looked at them the other day. I wonder, hold on, before I look, I want to see what I made it.
I got you.
Let's see here. I think I made it 16. But Logan Woodside is an outstanding quarterback. He's having a hell of a year. Where is it on the board? Miami. I hate when I do this on the air, folks. I'm sorry. I made it 17-66.
Okay.
And it is below Nebraska Rutgers. So let's see what it is. Obviously, folks, it's Tuesday. I would be way more aware of the board. I've been getting a lot of writing. Oh, it's only 13. Wow. See, they're giving more respect to Toledo than I am.
Yep.
And I like Toledo. I mean, I would have liked him at 17 maybe.
Right.
But Logan Woodside is having a great year after he had a great year last year. The Rockets blew out Elon, won by double digits at Nevada, and beat Tulsa 54-51. So, wait, I made the total 66 in that game. Is there a total out yet? Oh, 57.5. All right, I'm taking that over. There's your one pick for me this week.
There it is.
Over 57.5. But you're going to have to buy the rest, folks. Please.
You always get one.
Please. Well, I've given out a lot.
No, I know you give out a bunch.
But, I'll always give out one. Wow, Auburn is 18.5 against Missouri. Man, Missouri's a train wreck. And look at Kingsbury, 2-0. avenge that loss to Todd Graham. Todd Graham's got to be on a hot seat, man. He has got to be on a burning, boiling hot seat. And he's an a-hole anyway.
For the Florida-Kentucky game, are you going to be inside shades drawn?
No. I don't think so. I don't think it's gonna be one of those.
Okay, I just want to.
I mean, I'm almost in Zook mode, man. I swear.
Yeah.
And if you've never heard me to describe Zook mode, is like it's
clinical
like
depression.
You what? yeah. That. Yeah. That too.
Yeah.
But Zook mode is when you don't know, or it's kind of like you're. Well, A, it's kind of a cop-out, so I don't like to use it.
Right.
In other words, when it comes to shit-talking with your rivals, like
right.
I hate using it with FSU fans, because if they were using it, I'd call it a cop-out and I'd call them on it.
Right.
But it's basically Zook mode. Like, I got into Zook mode in Starkville in 2004. Yeah, 2004. And so it was against Sylvester Croom, and gosh, their running back played for the Falcons for a number of years that year. Gosh, I'm shooting a damn blank on it. Let me get him on my Mississippi State page. I bet he's one of the top rushers in school history. Yes, sir. Number two, Jarius Norwood. Yeah, Jarius Norwood broke a big run against the Gators, and I was just like, I was celebrating like I was a Hail State Mississippi State Bulldog from
right.
Stark Vegas. I was.
Right.
Because I knew Ron Zook was getting fired the next morning.
I gotcha.
And he did.
Right.
Now, McElwain has got, I mean, things got to go really south for him to get lost this year.
Yeah, I think it takes more than
that. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, look, I gave the half glass full theory.
Right.
He's 2-for-2 on SEC East, and he's 12-1 at home, and he's never lost an SEC game at home. But the reality or the half glass empty side of that is the offense is literally worse than it was under Muschamp statistically, by the eye test, everything. And I don't want to hear this. Jordan Scarlett and Antonio Callaway are gone. They're gone for good, or Callaway's gone for good. Not officially yet.
What did they, what, just quick, what were they selling?
I forget. They sold some sneakers or something, and then they claimed the credit card had been stolen, as if somebody else had taken their school-issued card.
I see.
And they bought the sneakers, not them. But they had actually bought them and sold them and then reported the card stolen, trying to get another $1,500.
So hardcore fraud.
Federal
grand
theft charges for Antonio Callaway and
right.
I think the other kid is Jordan Smith.
Gotcha.
And that's coming down this week or next. That's all per Trey Wallace of the readoptional.com, and he's been all over this from the beginning. In fact, on that note, let me go to Twitter and see if he has tweeted out anything here while we've been doing the show.
So you're in Zook mode a little bit for the upcoming games.
You're
on the edge.
I'm on the borderline of Zook. I'm not on Zook mode yet.
Okay. Good.
Oh, so Schlabaugh. State attorney awaits police pro, and he has the emoji of like rubbing his chin, meaning like, hey buddy, I've been reporting that already.
Yeah,
I had to do that with Schlabaugh like 8 years ago when I reported that 20 FSU players were going to be suspended for the Music City Bowl against Kentucky, and then I see on the ticker like 6 days later, Mark Schlabaugh is reporting that, you know, 10 players, maybe as many as 15 are going to be. And I emailed him immediately. He never replied. And I like Schlabaugh.
Yeah.
I like him. Good reporter. But, and he probably had nothing to do with it being on the ticker. Wasn't like ESPN was going to give VegasInsider.com credit. No, they have. No, they have had. Hell, they had me on, Schick had me on ESPNU a couple years ago when Todd Gurley was hurt to discuss its impact on the line, and it said Vegas Insider.
Did you see the thing with Fox Sports?
What?
About, like, you know how they switched over to, like, all video
whatever? Yeah.
And how they lost, I think, 88% of their web traffic after doing that?
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, like, dropped hardcore.
I wonder, Jay Glazer hasn't left Fox, though, because he still does his NFL stuff. I wouldn't think. He probably just does videos with him. Let's see if Glazer.
Yeah, but the new video, yeah, form, like, Fox. It. They're like, yeah, people I mean, video is powerful, but people still want to read.
Speaking of Fox, you know, their deal with the UFC is going to be up pretty soon, and Showtime has expressed interest in signing up the UFC. Actually, I don't know that I'd like that. I think I kind of like them with Fox. But, and on the UFC.
It'd make Showtime a ton of money.
Rockhold survived an early onslaught from David Branch Saturday night in Pittsburgh in the headliner. And, boy, Branch came to fight, and he landed some haymakers on Rockhold. And he was in trouble there for a minute, but he recovered. Branch certainly won the first round. He got a body. Rockhold got a body lock in the second round, got it to the ground, and then just ground and pounded him, kind of like he did Weidman. And then he was calling out GSP afterward. Well, I don't think he wants to fight GSP. He wants GSP to pull out of the fight with Bisping so he can fight Bisping. And he said he's going to be on weight and all that stuff ready for that fight. And then Bisping comes out yesterday, and Bisping says that this might be his last fight, which I'm sure further infuriated Rockhold.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And then Platinum Perry remained undefeated. Tiago Alves, who we mentioned last week, was stranded by Hurricane Irma. But I also read some circumstances that, I mean, I'm a dog lover. He had lost his dog. I shouldn't have been poking fun there. At Tiago last week.
Oh, where he was just like, yeah, I don't know, I can't get there.
Well, you know, he had kids and a wife, and they didn't have power yet, and they were searching for their dog. And, okay. And all that. Yeah, I mean, I'm a dog lover, and my dog is, you know, just had her third cancer surgery, and hey, I wouldn't give a, yeah, my dog comes before Platinum Perry. But,
right.
But Platinum Perry had another nasty knockout. And this is how savage this guy is. This guy's a nut. And I mean that in a good way in terms of UFC
right.
Fighting stuff. So I didn't tell you who he called out, did I?
No, you did not.
Oh, my God. I mean, this is how savage he is. He called out ruthless Robbie Lawler. I mean, and then, like, I forget what he... I had some drinks, obviously. And
right.
I mean, I didn't watch this fight until I got home, so... I forget if he said he was going to kick Lawler's ass or something to that extent, but he called him out. Woo! Woo! Man, there's a lot of people that I won't call out, and Robbie Lawler's at the top of that list. My goodness. But I want to see it, man. I want to see that fight. Let's make it happen. I wonder if Platinum Perry got into the rankings. He's got to be in. Will you look and see the welterweight rankings for UFC?
Yeah.
All right, so we're kind of getting in wrap-up mode. Not a lot of great college games this week, but some real interesting ones. And we touched a little bit on, you know, all these SEC hot seats. I mean, Arkansas and A&M, like I said, the stakes could not possibly be higher. Michigan at Purdue. I mean, the job that Jeff Brohm is doing is incredible. Do we get a sharp Michigan team clicking on all cylinders this week? Because we haven't really had that, but that's okay to have kind of had flat spots a little bit with Air Force and Cincy and not cover. Oh, by the way, Cincy mounted a crazy rally. I think I mentioned on the show last week that I was considering Miami of Ohio -3.5, and Cincy rallied back from a double-digit deficit in the fourth quarter and did beat Miami of Ohio.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's good for your strength of schedule.
Platinum's 20. He's ranked 20.
Wait, they're doing the rankings all the way out to 20 now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Or this is some outside website.
Is it SureDog?
No, this is
Tapology. I'll do it in just a minute. Okay, again, not a great game. But a good game, a very interesting game, Michigan at Purdue, and how Jeff Brohm, and look, Duke is undefeated, and, you know, at North Carolina, pretty good game. Wake Forest going to App State. See, I've got an affinity for App State, so that's an interesting game to me. Penn State at Iowa. You know, Iowa's not great, but it's on the road. It's a Big Ten game. Maybe perhaps a little bit of a tester. NC State FSU. That's a good game. Really good game. Mississippi State at Georgia. Really good game. I'll even call La Tech at South Carolina a fairly good game in the sense that La Tech has the ability to upset South Carolina. Hell, I would love nothing more than UMass to beat Tennessee. No, I can't say that. Like, I want Butch around as long as possible. I mean, the way he invents ways to lose to the Gators, keep him around, please. Please. Let's see. What other? Rutgers at Nebraska in the sense that, you know, Mike Riley on the hot seat. Washington at Colorado. Colorado supposedly lost all its defense, lost Jim Levitt. They're playing solid D, albeit against nobody of great merit thus far. But Washington on the road in Boulder late at night. That's a FS1 game at 10 p.m. Eastern. Notre Dame at Michigan State. Yeah. Michigan State, who did they have last week? Oh, they were off last week. So they are 2-0.
And then we have them the next week, I think.
Ooh, I see. I see. Auburn at Missouri. Two coaches on the hot seat. And they're 18.5. Wow, their offense is not good enough to be 18.5, I don't think. But now Missouri's offense is struggling. We knew their defense sucked. Texas Tech, Kingsbury coming into the season on a hot seat. 2-0, though, at Houston. Kyle Allen, the Cougars are undefeated. Major Applewhite, 2-0 start. That's an interesting game for me. Oh, especially in the noon Eastern slot. You know you get a lot of points. Total in the 70s. Alabama at Vandy, CBS 3:30 Eastern. Very interesting game to me. TCU at Oklahoma State, extremely interesting game to me. San Diego State at Air Force, interesting for Harbaugh for Michigan strength of schedule, because San Diego State off to a 3-0 start, as Brad said earlier. San Diego State playing good ball, and Rocky Long doing a hell of a job coaching. Oklahoma at Baylor. God, Baylor's bad, man. They are 0-3, two losses to FCS teams, and this rebuild for Matt Rhule is looking more daunting by the day. Oregon at Arizona State, interesting in the sense that Todd Graham's on a hot seat. It's a 15-point home underdog. Oregon, interesting in, are they back under Willie Taggart? Are they a legit top 15 team this year? I think I have them 7. Oh, no, here's my power rankings right here. I have them 17. Yeah, I was right. UCLA at Stanford. I mean, Stanford going to be 1-3? They're favored, so I doubt it. And UCLA now, you know, you got the miracle against A&M, but now you've lost to Memphis. And remember, Jim Mora was on the hot seat coming into this year. So all sorts of storylines. Lots of hot. Oh, and the Southern Cal at Cal game, which we touched on with Brad. That's an interesting game. Justin Wilcox doing as good a job as anybody in America right now. Had an outstanding DC run at Wisconsin last year. Scored the Cal job, and they are 3-0. Was there anything UFC else? Are you on the UFC?
Yeah.
Where's Platinum Perry?
He's not ranked.
He's not ranked at welterweight?
No.
That is nuts to me. That is crazy. You know, maybe they haven't put out their new rankings this week. That's crazy. He's got to be ranked. That's insane to me. All right. Well, check out my picks this weekend, folks. I don't have any up yet, but that will change in the next 24 to 48 hours and a little. It's not worthy of breaking news unless you love Conference USA football. Or you live in Houston and call yourself a Rice Owl or an FIU Panther down in South Florida. The Fighting Butch Davises. Rice quarterback Sam Glaceman is out this week against FIU with a shoulder injury. That just coming over the wire. Okay, I think we're done here. Check out my picks.
Good to go.
Check out my picks on Vegas Insider. 5-2 in the NFL this past week. 4-1 in college on Saturday, and 11-6 for the year, 62% plus 4-point-something units and change. Thanks for joining us. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks to Brad Powers of pregame.com joining us. Follow him on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Vegas B. Edwards. Hook us up with some traffic on BrianEdwardsSports.com. com, if you will. I'll have some new content up there. We've got updated games of the year. I'm going to probably get that up tonight, actually. And that's it for Harbo. For Brad Powers, I'm Brian Edwards. Over and out. Games Galore 16 in the books.